We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You know about AMVETS? Of course you know about American Veterans. And if you don't know, their executive director is a Marine Corps veteran and my former Defense Information School classmate, Joe Schinelli, who joins us live as he does every Thursday morning. Joe, how are you doing today?
Never better, Eric. Happy Veterans Month.
Yeah, Veterans Month, of course, kind of a new thing. Veterans Day taking place on Saturday, but this Veterans Month, you know, when that announcement was put out by the president and the VA about Veterans Month, how did you receive that? What did you think about the change to Veterans Month?
I think it's a great idea. I think it's something that we can all get around, and we are all gathering around it, and it's been exciting so far. You know, 9 days into this, we've had different events every day of the month so far, and the secretary has events planned for the rest of the month. I don't want it to take away from Veterans Day itself, the 11th, of course, because that's such an important day for the whole nation to stop and to think about what has gone into protecting the freedoms and the liberties of this country. But bringing awareness to a lot of different issues is what this month is all about right now, and very happy for that.
What are some of the events that you've actually taken part in? Did I see something of you heading up to New York City to do something?
Yes, I was in New York on Tuesday, met with CEO of Johnson & Johnson and with leadership with Marvel Comics, and helped ring the closing bell for the New York Stock Exchange. Johnson & Johnson just partnered with the VA and produced a really great public service announcement around the Be There, the suicide prevention campaign, with Tom Hanks as the feature in the PSA. I think it's going to get a lot of people's attention. So that was something they were celebrating. Marvel Comics is, they recognize that they're fictional heroes have a lot of admiration from the American public, and especially nation's youth. And so they want to make sure that their comic book heroes there are letting their audience know from time to time who they see as the real heroes, and some of our wounded veterans out there. And so it's a great campaign they're doing as well. It's something we're going to be partnering with here in the future in an awareness campaign. So that's what New York City was all about. Just yesterday, over at the Capitol Visitor Center in Congress, Senator Warren had sponsored, and then she was able to co-sponsor it with Senator Marco Rubio, a POW missing in action chair.
Oh.
So it's right at the entrance of the visitors center there, and every senator pretty much walks by there daily, and hundreds of thousands of people every year walk by there. And for the first time, they're going to see something that really symbolizes those who are missing or were prisoners, and obviously sacrificed in a very different way than most, and in a very meaningful way. And so it's really, I think it's a great thing. This chair is going to be right there now, and people are going to see it. And that's just 2 days in the month.
You know, it's really good to see, of course, as you said, Elizabeth Warren and Marco Rubio, two opposite ends of the political spectrum, being able to work together. And veterans issues have seemed to be something that, they've been able to find some common ground on. Not necessarily all the time, but typically they've been able to work through their differences. Now, while at Marvel Comics, was there any talk of me becoming the next big superhero?
They're trying to find a mask for you right now.
Yeah, Radio Boy. Oh, there you go. That's my character. All right. As I mentioned with Senators Rubio and Warren working together, and the partisan political folks up there on Capitol Hill being able to come together over veterans issues, there are still some that are up in the air that are being discussed. One is choice legislation. What's the latest on choice, Joe?
Sure. So choice has been something we've been battling since the beginning of this calendar year, since the beginning of this administration here. You know what I mean, battling. There's not a lot of fighting. It's a lot of discussion. And so far, it's been a lot of constructive conversation, which is great. But so the House thought they had a bill put together. We thought they had a bill put together that was good to go. And then they had scheduled it for markup, which means to vote on it, earlier this week, on Tuesday. Fortunately, that did not happen. Because late last week, after we had already agreed on what that legislation should look like, and we had seen several versions, a few more pieces were added to it in the last minute. And they were pieces that really troubled AMVETS and the other veterans organizations. And it took us a little bit. We figured out what was happening there. And some outside political forces were able to put a few provisions in there that were very troubling that would, again, start moving us toward more too much choice. And I know those words don't seem to make sense, but choice to a point that becomes irresponsible and fiscally unsustainable.
Yeah.
And so we pushed back and said, wait, this can't go through. And it took a little bit to get the whole veterans community behind it, but we did. And so then they announced on Monday night they would not mark up that bill, that they wanted to wait for the CBO or the score that says how much it would cost. The numbers we're seeing, that we believe, are at least $40 billion over the next 10 years, so at least $4 billion per year. I actually think it could be as much as double that. So they've put off the vote on it. Now, it does have to get voted. Something has to be done before this year is over, before the calendar year is over, because the choice money out there, which is an important program and needs to continue, it needs reform, but it's going to run out of money by the end of the calendar year. So something has to happen because there's not a whole lot of legislative days left this year.
Right. Right. And, you know, as we've said, it's one of the things, it's veterans issues have seemed to be a kind of a common ground between the left and the right in Congress. But one issue that actually passed through the House yesterday has been a little bit more divided along those Republican and Democrat lines, and that is ACT, which is essentially BRAC for VA. What can you tell us about what went through the House yesterday, Joe?
Sure. So what this is this would create a panel. We're okay with the panel right now, the way it would be set up. There would be some variety there, including some veterans organizations on the panel. We wouldn't actually see a decision from this panel, though, for about 6 years. But the way that this legislation that did pass through the House yesterday, which is, you know, only part of the hurdles, the way I get through the Senate, and then I should say it did not pass the House. It passed the House Veterans Affairs Committee.
Oh, okay.
Would still need to be voted on by the entire House floor. And so what this would do is create that panel. The panel would then make its review starting in 2021. And within 2 years, it would need to give a report of saying which VA facilities, VA properties need to be dispatched of, one way or the other. And then they would submit a report to the President of the United States. And the president would then make the decision whether to accept that report or not. The argument comes in, who should decide whether that report gets approved or not? The Republicans who pushed this through yesterday say it should be the president. And keeping in mind, this won't be in this presidential term, so you don't necessarily know who the president will be at that point anyway. The Democrats say it should come back to Congress, and Congress should give the thumbs up or thumbs down on the report. Which is the way at BRAC itself actually works when we're talking about base realignment and closures. Our position right now is that the way that the bill went through yesterday is okay. The problem with leaving it up to Congress is then you have hundreds of congressmen and senators who are fighting for their particular district or their state. It can become very political then. And it would mean a lot to a member of the House to save a facility in his or her district. And you start getting this district versus district and who has the more powerful representative, and it starts playing into elections and all these other things. If it's left up to the White House, whoever's in the White House at that time, hopefully it should be what's best for the nation. Now, I'm not saying that every representative would do that, but we've seen it enough times in BRAC to know that it's a real possibility.
Yeah, and we're talking with Joe Schinelli, Marine Corps veteran and the executive director of AMVETS. Now, what's the reasoning behind what is, you know, and for those who don't know the term, if you're not familiar with it, BRAC is base realignment and closure in the military. It's where you basically shut down a base. It's become extraneous or too expensive or whatever the case may be. What's the reasoning behind basically doing this act, which is kind of BRAC? To not to get bogged down in acronyms, but what's the reasoning behind wanting to shut down, you know, VA facilities like this? Are they too expensive? Are they not being used? It seems like with as many veterans as we have having to or wanting to seek outside treatment, that we certainly don't have too many VA facilities. So why are we looking at shutting them down?
No, you're absolutely right. That's an outstanding point, Eric. The bottom line here is we do not want, we being veterans organizations and vets, we do not want a operational medical facility to close when there's a need, even if the need is a little lower right then than sometimes in the past or maybe sometimes in the future. The buildings, the facilities that they're telling us that need to be closed, and they're saying there's several hundred of them, are usually outbuildings. They are barns in some cases, warehouses. They're buildings that are 50, 60, 70, up to 100 years old in some cases, and they're not cost effective anymore. So we would not want to close something without a replacement, and having that replacement in place before you sell or demolish or repurpose something else. And that's why it's been very important to us that there's veterans organizations out there, advocates who represent millions of veterans between us, and to make sure that this is not something that pushes more veterans into the private sector. Mm. So it's an excellent question, and it's something that we're going to have several years to work through.
You know, when we talk about the House Veterans Affairs Committee, there are quite a few veterans on that committee, if I'm remembering correctly. You know, what have they said as far as why they want this to go through, or those who don't want it to go through? I mean, have they given any? You just talked about why we don't need fewer facilities, and they actually just passed legislation to open some new VA medical centers. What has been the personal statements, if any, from those on the House Veterans Affairs Committee on why this went through?
Well, I think everyone's in agreement that there are facilities that need to go away. So, as I said, one, it's about who gets that final decision on it. And the other part there is it premature right now to decide which facilities can be closed or otherwise used or not used without knowing what our choice is going to look like, without knowing what the community care network will look like. Until that's done, perhaps we won't know the extent of need that we have out there. So you made a good point there that several members of Congress, including a few who are on the Veterans Affairs Committee, who are medical professionals themselves, and they want, and I love what they always say here, is this needs to be based on clinical need. It can't be based on politics. It can't be based on money. They've got to find the money. But as long as this is what the veterans who have earned these benefits and earned this care through their service, we have to make sure that they're able to provide what they need clinically.
And, you know, if they shut down, I mean, did they try to look at this as if they shut down some VA facilities, they'll be able to maybe move the people who are there to other VA facilities? Or does this shutdown also mean the loss of jobs as well? Because we're last I checked, there were like 40,000 vacant jobs at the VA. So if we're cutting more people, wouldn't that be more jobs to fill? I mean, and there's just a lot of questions that it brings up to me, Joe.
Oh, yeah, you're absolutely right. And I love these questions because these questions really help in this whole debate over expanded choice and telling veterans that they can go find their care in the community instead of coming to the VA facilities. There are hundreds of VA facilities out there, and you're right, they employ thousands and thousands of people, and they are key parts of the communities in which they operate. And to close them just so that the private sector can make a profit, you know, would be a terrible thing. And the private sector doesn't have a ton of capacity left either. They, you know, I think the average person who goes out into the private sector and wants to get an appointment, they'll be surprised if they can get one, you know, before 4 or 5 days, and in some cases a lot longer than that for elective procedures and things like that. There's not a lot of places for these medical professionals who work at the VA to go to if a facility was closed. So again, that's really why this has to be strictly kept to old facilities that aren't being used now, that don't make sense. If it's a facility that's just so old that it can't be renovated or otherwise used in a cost-effective way, that needs to be replaced, and that would give in the same community. You know, if maybe it needs to move a little bit one direction or the other because of shifting population, because like I said, some of the footprints of these facilities are often, you know, 50, 80 years old. So sometimes population has shifted. If you move a facility 15 miles away, it might be a lot more convenient for some people. A lot of things to consider here, and that's why, and I kind of poked at a little bit, that we won't see an actual list of recommendations for 6 years, but because a lot of thought, a lot of research is going to need to go into this.
Well, we're talking to a man who puts a lot of thought and a lot of research into what he does as the executive director of AMVETS. He is Joe Schinelli, United States Marine Corps veteran, which brings me to my next point here, Joe. And it's not so much an official one, but more kind of you and your fellow Marine Corps veterans. Veterans Day is Saturday, of course, November 11th, the 11th day of the 11th month. And the Marine Corps birthday is Friday, November 10th. Because of Veterans Day being on Saturday, a lot of the ceremonies are being celebrated on Friday. And I've heard some Marines saying, like, hey, this is kind of overshadowing our deal. We don't know if we like this all that much. So have you taken any stance on that yourself as a Marine?
Oh, we can share the day. I've been around the veterans community now for a couple decades, and the Marine Corps makes a big deal out of the birthday for sure. And I think all the branches of the service think we make the biggest deal out of our birthday. We can party hard with our brothers and sisters of the Marine Corps and still celebrate Veterans Day at the same time. Also, tomorrow is my wedding anniversary, because my wife, who is a 9-year veteran of the Air Force, she knew that if we had our wedding anniversary on the Marine Corps birthday, I would never forget the date.
Wow. You actually, that's one of the most Marine things I've ever heard, getting married on the Marine Corps birthday. Oh, that way we can have two cakes. Yeah. That's a fantastic thing. I was not aware about that, but happy early anniversary to you. Now, as we look at, as you mentioned, the fact that this session of Congress, it's going to come to a close here before too long. What are the biggest things that veterans should keep their eyes on when it comes to what Congress is doing that will involve the veteran community? What are the things that you think veterans should prioritize as far as what they're paying attention to on Capitol Hill?
Here in these last few weeks, really, of the year, there's going to be nothing bigger than the choice and the health care reform. I hope they don't kick the can down the road once again. So what's big now is what's going to come out of the Senate. The House is just about wrapped up here. The Senate's going to have the kind of the final say on this before the end of the year. I anticipate a last-minute Hail Mary. We have several bills that have just passed through committee, including providing for veterans who have bad or dishonorable discharges. And these are particular veterans who they messed up because often they're self-medicating, things like that, dealing with some PTSD or TBI, things like that. That's a critical one out there, and I think it's going to pass through Congress. Seeing what the president does with that will be interesting. We also have a really big push here at the end of the year, and we'd love to see this with the medical marijuana. We want to see the VA open up research, and our ultimate goal here, although this probably won't be able to happen this year, but we're going to make a push at the end of the year, is to be able to get VA doctors the legal authority to at least discuss medicinal marijuana and the like with veterans in states where it's legal. So in Colorado right now, a veteran comes in, wants to know, hey, is this something I should consider? VA doctor is legally obligated to not discuss that because the VA doctor is a federal employee and it's still a federal law that bans that. We need to get rid of that. We're pushing on that real hard. Hopefully we can at least have some steps here right before the end of the year.
Well, we've been speaking with Joe Schinetti, wow, Joe Schinetti, executive director of AMVETS, who I've known for, about 20 years or so as we were classmates at the Defense Information School, but he is now the number one man over at AMVETS. And last thing that I want to bring up to you, Joe, we haven't talked since the sentence came down from Mr. Bo Bergdahl on Monday. A lot of controversy in the veterans community, you know, those saying, hey, I understand the legal process, I may not agree with it, but here's what it is. A lot of people saying, how can he get no time? Has AMVETS taken any official stance on that or have any official thoughts on the Bergdahl debacle that's been taking place?
So AMVETS has not, no. And we're a small but very dedicated team over here on our on our policy front, and we haven't been able to spend much time on something like that we don't have any control over. But I would say I think it's a bunch of bull. Yeah. I don't understand how this guy can walk like he is, and very disappointing. It is a legal process. Doesn't mean that I have to like it or agree with it. Right. That's my position.
Right. And, you know, as we were talking about this morning, now the Army is apparently having to discuss, because of some questions raised by his legal team, whether he might be eligible for a couple $100,000 in back pay. Think about that. And think about what would happen if that were to come to pass. I don't think it will, but we're going to have to talk to some of our JAG friends to find out about that. All right. Hey, Joe, if people are interested in finding out more about AMVETS, whether it's, they're looking at the different programs that you provide, where should they go to do that? And is there any particular place that you think veterans would be most appreciative of as far as like the AMVETS website and everything?
Sure. So we're on AMVETS.org. We have a new newsletter out there that there's a lot of stuff going on in there. If you want to keep up to date on this, we're on social media also. If you're coming to Washington, D.C. Saturday for Veterans Day, we're on the mall. We're going to be near the Vietnam Memorial. We'll have a big AMVETS tent, a lot of things set up there for veterans, also for veterans' families. So if you want to know more about us, please come on, stop out and say hello.
Absolutely. And there's a lot going on in our nation's capital on Veterans Day. There's a lot going on in our nation's capital every day. And AMVETS, along with the other VSOs, they're doing what they can to keep their eyes on it and keep their membership and the veteran community at large informed on all of those good things. We've been speaking with Joe Schinetti, Executive Director of American Veterans and United States Marine Corps veteran.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.